The things you got to do. Welcome to Worship Shorts. The question I would like to answer today is, what's with all the bowing? Well, there are some prescribed bows that are included in Jewish prayer. At Ohev, we haven't really set any standards, so you'll probably see many people bowing according to their own customs and preferences. But I would like to talk about the prescribed times that are common in Jewish prayer. First of all, during the Aleinu prayer, which, as I pointed out in a previous Worship Shorts message, is not part of the Shabbat Shacharit service, it's part of the Musaf service after the Shacharit. But during the Aleinu, there's a phrase, Va'anachnu korim u'mishtachavim u'modim. It means we bend the knee, we worship, and give thanks. The word korim means to bend the knee, and mishtachavim means worship. The normal practice in Judaism is that when bowing, one first bends the knees. Now, in the prayers where we have Baruch Atah Adonai, and it's a bowing prayer, you would normally bend the knee at Baruch. Then you would straighten your knees and bend forward at Atah, and then you would rise up at Adonai. Now I'm talking about the prescribed pattern in normal Jewish prayer. Some groups practice bending a little further forward during Umishtachavim. I learned this in a class that I took as a reflection of the act of worshiping. So with the Aleinu prayer, it would be Va'anachnu korim u'mishtachavim u'modim lifnei melech. Okay, so a little further forward, just as an act of worship. Once or twice a year, the worship leader goes further, or the worshiper actually can go further, usually on Yom Kippur, possibly on Rosh Hashanah. The leader may be seen prostrating himself completely with his face to the ground during this prayer. It's not done more often, and the reason that I found for it not being done more often was mainly because it was removed when they noticed that a lot of Christians were doing that. Anyway, that was what I read. Bowing is also customarily done four times during the Shemona Esrei. Does anybody remember what the Shemona Esrei is? It means 18. It's the Amidah. It's the prayers in the middle. And during the first prayer, the Avot, at the beginning and at the end of the prayer, and also during one other prayer, towards the end, the Modim prayer, the thanksgiving prayer, during the first nine words and at the final blessing. In all these cases, one usually does not bow very deeply. It's seen as a sign of drawing too much attention to oneself when one bows too deeply. During any part of a Kaddish, when the Oseh Shalom is recited, the custom is to bow and step back, bow left, bow right, and bow forward. The stepping back is part of acknowledgement of being in the presence of a king, not turning away, but stepping back while continuing to face the king. During the Barchu, the leader bows for the initial blessing, then the congregation bows during the response. Of course, we do the whole thing together here as a congregation. This also occurs for the Barchu recited prior to the Torah reading. It's the same words, it's the same Barchu. There are some who bow during every mention of the name of Hashem, that is, where the four-letter name is mentioned. This is not part of the prescribed practice, but there are some who do this. One good thing to note is that Jewish prayer is not intended as a show. It is a matter of serving Hashem. It is a fulfillment of a duty. Many of the practices of Jewish prayer are done in order to show deference to others. One story is told of a young boy who had not yet learned to speak, but when the others would say Amen, he would blow a whistle. His father reproved him sharply for doing this, but the rabbi, who overheard the exchange, pointed out to the father that God finds the boy's whistle as acceptable a response to prayer as the father's Amen. As you can see, this was done to show respect to the boy. At the same time, I'm sure that once the boy learned to say Amen, he would no longer be permitted to use the whistle. Why? Because it would be disrespectful to those who didn't have a whistle. And it would draw too much attention to the little boy. We should be conscious in our worship that while many things might be acceptable to God as our personal offering of devotion, we should not be engaging in activities that could be motivated out of pride, drawing too much attention to ourselves, or overly critical of others' practices. It's when certain practices become objectionable, usually due to pride or another form of offense, that the rabbis step in and set a standard. What I've given you today are commonly accepted standards and for which no one would be criticized anything more than these, and we may eventually see leaders become involved for the sake of all, and thank you for listening to Worship Shorts.